You're listening to DTMF Radio, Episode 2, with your host, Crash Dust.
A13 Air.
And our guest, Kizzle.
Yo.
We're going to be covering an assortment of topics on OpenCD. Kizzle's going to talk about that. OpenOffice screwed me over. And some other rants and raves, I'm not really sure. A13 has the show notes.
Yeah, by the way, the intro music was from AK-1200, Shoot to Kill. And I'm going to be going over a game from theproduct.com, 96 kilobyte first-person shooter. And I think that's all we're going over.
A13, aren't you getting that off another radio show?
Yeah, that's coming from Arts Radio. They got a pretty good radio show. You should check it out. It's at www.acid.org/radio. And pretty good show, about 2 episodes up right now. I think they do it once a month. It's about ASCII art and the whole art scene, different cons and stuff.
And we're also going to be talking about Black Box Windows Shell.
Yeah, been messing with that for all of last night.
Two days. Woo-hoo.
2 days. I think that's all we're going to be talking about. So you want to go ahead and get into the first topic?
All right, OpenOffice. So, some fucking error pissed me off. 2 days ago.
Oh, well, before you get started, we should also mention that in the first episode, we were going to be talking about how great OpenOffice was.
Right.
But it didn't make its way into the show notes, so we kind of forgot.
Yeah, well, then the day after that, it screwed me over, so now I'm pissed.
All right, well, go ahead and tell us what happened with the evil OpenOffice.
It wasn't exactly OpenOffice's fault in the beginning. Laptop, I'm using it. Saved my OpenOffice presentation. For school, turning off the laptop to let it charge overnight while I was turning off, had some fatal error in the memory. I think it has something to do with BIOS. It says if this critical error appears again, you're going to have to, basically reinstall Windows and, fuck. So, I reboot. Error, Windows pops up telling me that it's repaired the critical error and some files could be corrupted. And, alright, shit. So I'm checking my files, making sure they work, and lo and behold, the presentation I did in OpenOffice, OpenOffice pops up, it loads, and when the bar gets to the very end, OpenOffice fork opens, it said OpenOffice.org error, and the error was get content, no content. And the reason I know that it wasn't my presentation that was corrupted was because if you just try to OpenOffice alone, the error would appear. So I tried to reinstall it. I did reinstall OpenOffice. Error reoccurred again. So it was fucked up. So I had to do, just to not fail the class, because the project was due the next day, I had to resort to PowerPoint and change the emergency rescue the CD, get the file on the CD, go to my other computer and put it in PowerPoint format. And OpenOffice saved me over there, though. It worked on the other computer, so it wasn't my file. Again, it was the computer, the laptop. So I think that when that memory error, I don't even know where that's from, it corrupted some files. But when I reinstalled OpenOffice, it still wouldn't work. So do you have any thoughts on that?
Whenever you went to reinstall it, this isn't part of that, but afterwards, when you tried to reinstall it, did you uninstall it first? Just that thought.
Yeah, I did.
All right. So I've been having a problem with that in my Polaroid thing that came with my camera. Yeah. It just won't work for some reason.
Yeah, I think
Windows has a bad habit of things stop working.
I think it's Windows altogether.
I don't know. That's pretty weird.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you for that. Except
yeah, so in the end, I installed Microsoft PowerPoint Viewer on the laptop and used the PowerPoint that I had. I converted the SXI, which is the OpenOffice format, to PowerPoint. So I had to go with Microsoft, which bums me out.
And on that note, what the hell is OpenOffice thinking, trying to better the world and provide this free software? What the fuck are they trying to do? I mean, they think they just come out and just release stuff for free, and what are they thinking? Can't be nice.
No!
Those fuckers.
No, it's great that it's free. I'm not pissed at Open Office. I think A13 Errors said something like that. How can it be bad if it's free? And
yeah, I believe your comment, or my comment was, well, gonorrhea is free.
Yeah, gonorrhea is free. I'm like, no, you pay for that.
What the hell are you doing using the presentation thing in Open Office anyways?
Well, I don't know.
It was pretty horrible last time I used it.
No, it's not horrible. It's just different.
I see.
Well,
it works. I got my presentation perfect. It's just that I had some fatal memory error and everything's fucked.
I haven't ever used OpenOffice or PowerPoint just because I don't make stuff like that. But
before.
I don't know. I think it's just a problem with your laptop. I don't know. I'd have to see it and then make fun of it.
It looks very much like any other Microsoft Office. It options are moved around, and it's just a little bit more hard to work with. It's free. I mean, what can you complain? I mean, I'm complaining about it because it fucked me over and gave me some odd-ass error.
Well,
basically, I'm just happy that Office is there. I don't use it because I personally like Microsoft stuff better, and I just hired it. But it's cool that it's there, that someday, you know, if somebody out there can't hire it, Office, they can just use it.
Yeah.
If it's there, just go use it.
Personally, I don't use Word. I use Notepad. Notepad is king.
Oh, lead.
Yeah.
Well, then,
you can't do ASCII art in Word.
Well, you could. It would just look retarded.
I have to give Notepad props because it's awesome. I use that thing constantly.
Yeah.
And other free software news. Kizzle, didn't you have something you were going to talk about?
Oh, yeah. The OpenCD. This was posted on the Flash a couple days and checked it out, and it's pretty interesting. It's a CD that you can just kind of give to, you know, pretty much the average Joe. You don't need any computer experience whatsoever. And basically, it introduces them to the free software movement, basically. You pop a CD in, and it says, welcome to OpenCD, blah, 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 this contains a contains a bunch of open source software, blah, blah, blah.
Compilation.
And it's a really nice GUI, and it's all pretty looking. And you get into it, and it shows you all these different free alternatives to Office, to Internet Explorer. There's a bunch of free games. And so you just kind of click around. It has OpenOffice, the GIMP, PDF Creator, Blender, and it's just a really nice way to get people to consider alternatives.
Just to let them know they're there.
Yeah, they make it so just dead simple too. You just say, "Hey, that looks interesting." Click, and it's installed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a URL for this?
The opencd.org.
Yeah, I was just at it. I had personally just downloaded it.
All right, and do you have a list of like what kind of apps come with it?
You mentioned.
I wrote down some when you were talking about it, like some encryption tools, GIMP, Mozilla, AbbeyWord, PuTTY. These are all available separately, you said, Crash Test?
Yeah, on the FTP site where I was downloading it, they had two file folders, source resources, and then the ISO files. And the ISO files were in a zip format, the OpenCD version 1.4. You want version 1.4, ISO.zip. But then in another folder, they had resources, and it was all the files that were in the ISO separately they could download through. Which ones were in there.
Yeah, but if you're going to be downloading stuff separately, I mean, you might as well just go to the site and grab it.
Yeah.
It's cool they have it separately on their FTP, but, I mean,
purpose of distribution to the average Joe, the ISO is very friendly.
Right, yeah, it's very user-friendly. It's basically what's been needed for a long time.
Yeah.
There are a few more things they can put on there, but only using about 300 megs of the CD. So there's another 400 megs of space they could be using up, but maybe this kind of wanted to keep it slim. They didn't want to overload it.
Overwhelm
one person. Yeah, my one personal gripe with it is they put Mozilla on there instead of Firebird. I can't stand Mozilla.
Why don't they put both if they have so much room?
Well, because they don't, you know, as I said, they probably don't want to overload the user. And I mean, Mozilla is decent.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they didn't want to provide Mozilla Firebird because it's not, I don't think it's. Yeah, it's not released yet. It's still beta. Maybe that was their criteria.
Yeah.
It had to be released, and it not released, so maybe they shouldn't want to put it on there, even though the version numbers are pretty arbitrary most of the time.
Mm-hmm. All right. You went through here. You're going to talk about Black Box.
Black Box, my new friend. Well, I had used this a long time ago. It was a different version. I think there are a couple versions of this out. And I just got the sudden urge, hey, it's been a while. Maybe they updated and fixed all the crappiness. So I go check it out, and I found either something different or they just completely changed everything. So it's like 400 kilobytes. So I download it, run it, and whenever I downloaded it, it said that it was only for XP. And since I'm running ME, there were some things that wouldn't work right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
So after fixing all that, like...
813, what version do you have?
I have...
Is it the newest one? The newest one is like 9.
Yeah, it's like 009 or something
yeah.
like that. Hold on. Yeah, 0.0.9, I believe.
Yeah.
And the only things that wouldn't work were like command, and ME is just command, and for XP it's cmd.exe.
Mm-hmm.
Just fix stupid stuff like that, and then it all worked. And then I just prettied it all up and got it looking the way I liked. And I've been using that for a while. I don't have to look at the regular Windows environment, so.
It's similar to, like, Fluxbox.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure that most people know what Blackbox is, but.
Yeah.
And this has been out before. It's like nothing new. It was on Tech TV a while back, and that's where I heard about it. Not Tech TV, but someone said that it was on there. I was like, hey, Blackbox, I'll try that.
It's a nice alternative.
Do you still happen to have the URL for that? I don't have it anymore.
I personally have it. I'll put it up in the show notes.
All right, it'll be up in the show notes. And since everyone has to go there to download, they can just check.
Why don't we say our new URL?
Oh, we have a new forward at dtmfradio.tk.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a subdomain from Kizzle. Is that working yet?
Yeah,
it's working.
Yeah.
All right. It's dtmf.hackermedia.net, right?
Yep.
All right. So all that should be working. You can check it out through there. Goes to the same place. I was going to talk about the game from The Product. It's from www.theproduct.com. I heard about it on Arts Radio, and since I'm sort of a gamer, I decided I'll check it out. And what really interested me is it's a first-person shooter, but only 96 kilobytes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at this con where the whole point of it was to make a game under or at 96 kilobytes. I believe that's what they said. So this just, like, blew me away. Like, this game, it's either got to look really crappy or these guys really know what they're doing. So I checked it out, and... Just a warning, you must have a really good computer to get this to work.
Yeah. You have to have, like, over 512 megabytes of RAM.
Yeah, I'll go over the system requirements.
All
it's right. You have to have a Pentium 3, like 1.5 gigahertz or higher, 512 RAM or more, any kind of newer video card with 128 megabyte RAM, and DirectX 9B support. And... I've got 256 megabyte of RAM, and I couldn't run it. It's laggy as crap. It works, but it's not playable. And reading through the README, I think that's where I read it. This is just a beta, by the way. This isn't the full version. Whenever it actually comes out, I think they said they're going to have a bigger version that it doesn't compress as much, which I believe that's going to cut down on the amount of RAM you need, so it doesn't have to uncompress as much.
But then wouldn't that defeat the whole purpose of it being 96 kilobits?
Yeah, they just did it for this con.
Right.
They're still working on it. They've got it all working, but now they're going back and working on gameplay.
Yeah, if they make it 2 megabytes, and it's still such a great game, it's too small. 2 megabytes is nothing for a game.
Yeah. Now, I must also mention this game... Don't think that it's going to be really crappy like Doom graphics. This is a really nice-looking game for as small as it is. There's sound on there, like whole soundtracks, or it's just a really nice loop or something. And the graphics, it's not blocky. It's smooth, textured.
Half-Life?
Half-Life chatbot isn't great, but it's pretty good for 96 kilobytes.
Mm-hmm. Do you have multiple weapons?
I believe there are 5 weapons. It had hotkeys for 5 weapons, I think. I never got past the first weapon because it was just so laggy. There are 2 things that run at you when the game starts. I shot both of those, turned around, picked up ammo, and then I gave up because it was just so laggy.
The product has some other demos out there, too, that are really good. I'm sure it's on their site someplace, but I know there's a couple other demos, at least, they did that. I think one was around 40-some K, but it wasn't a game, but it was a graphics demo for much, and it looks really good. Well, I think it... I do think it's kind of misleading, though, that... Yeah, I'm sure they're doing some crazy compression and, you know, whatnot, but they are referencing a lot of DirectX libraries and, you know, God knows what else. So, I mean, it's not like it's a big, it's this little self-contained thing. If you were to take all the libraries he's using and whatnot that you have installed already on your computer, then it'd probably be pretty big.
It's basically just relying on everything on your computer.
Pretty much.
Right, it's just referring to them.
As opposed to Unreal Tournament or Diablo or something where it's almost a gig install.
Yeah.
It's
impressive nonetheless.
Yeah, I just thought it was a pretty cool idea. 96 kilobyte first-person shooter.
That's kind of lost these days, trying to make stuff compact. Now it's because computers are so fast, you get it going and there you go. It's cool to see people, you kind of bring back the spirit of trying to get every last little piece of horsepower out of the machine.
On that size subject, like, I'm in class with a lot of computer people, and I'm like, we're talking about building boxes, and I say, I always put a floppy drive on mine. They're like, fuck a floppy drive? Why the hell do you want a floppy drive? And I'm like, because it's so useful. I mean, you can do so much with a floppy disk, and they're laughing at me because it's so small size. It only holds like 1.44 megabytes. I'm like, you can do a lot with 1.44 megabytes. You can do a lot.
And check out MenuOS. I don't know if you guys ever heard of that. That thing is amazing. It's very, very alpha right now, but somebody started doing an OS from scratch. They're not trying to base it on Unix or anything like that. It's just they're making their own OS. And it's a self-contained thing that has its own GUI, and I believe it can play MP3s, and has a little mini web server, and it's all on just a floppy.
I think it has IRC capabilities, too.
Everything, all those capabilities are very alpha, but it's just a demonstration of this is what you can do with 1.44.
It's all written in assembly.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like the people at school are that's pointless. I mean, why have that much? Only 1.44 megabytes when you have a CD at 700, and a pack of CDs is only $20, and a pack of like 10 floppies is $3. And I'm like, floppies are so universally useful. I mean, you can boot off them. You can boot off CDs, but floppies, in my opinion, are just much more easy to use. And also, they're much more durable.
I mean,
if you think about it, a floppy, you can, like, beat the shit out of a floppy, and it still works.
But and CD, you can read and write to it as much as you want.
Right. CD, you only can read and write once unless it's rewritable. But you have to worry about it getting scratched. I mean, half the surface is open for scratching.
Well, actually, both sides are.
Yeah.
If you scratch the side with the label, that's going to come off just as easy as scratching the other side. That's the only reason why I don't use CDs. Everything I put on CD, I look at it as this. It costs 25 cents. The first scratch it gets, I throw it away.
Right.
I don't like these. I used to keep a lot of music CDs, but then I had CDs get messed up, and I just put it all on my hard drive and said, screw CDs. It's not worth it.
Like ZipDisc, they've virtually gone off the market because they're being replaced by DVD backup and all that, but I mean, they had zip drives going up to 700 megabytes. And personally, I love having one of those. I mean, ZipDisk is sturdy. It's strong. You can, you know, again, that's why I like USB drives, too, more than CDs. Thumb drives.
Yeah, those things are expensive, though.
No, not if you get, like, 64 megabytes. It's like $20, $30.
Well, I really wish that when they started trying to roll out the zip drives, they would make them to where you could boot off of them very easily, just like 10
mm-hmm.
floppies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've got to drop and reconnect because my calling card's running out. Later.
All right.
Later, Kizzle.
So, no more Kizzle.
No more Kizzle.
I don't know if he's going to call back or not, but I guess we can just keep going.
All right.
Pretty much, I think that's all we had. We were going to ask him what he was doing with HackerMedia.net, so.
Uh-huh.
Anything else we want to talk about?
We're going to continue this episode,
Oh, yeah.
After commercial break.
Later.
Out.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Floors, doors, walls, halls, white sidewall, tires, and old golf balls.
Sinks, stoves, bathtubs, he'll do. He'll even help clean laundry, too.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Can he clean a kitchen sink?
Quicker than a wink.
Can he clean a window sash?
Faster than a flash.
Can he clean a dirty mirror?
He'll make it bright and clearer.
Can he clean a diamond ring?
Mr. Clean cleans anything.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute. Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it. Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Hey, Crash Test here. We're back from a commercial break, sponsored by our proud sponsor, Mr. Clean. Me, an 813 error, and Kizzle had dropped. We have some topics to talk about. How Black Box saved me. I was looking for some alternative shells for Windows, and I came upon one that was called like Geo Shell or something. What's on that name? I'm not really sure. It wasn't Go Shell. It was something else. Like Geo, I believe. Downloaded it, installed it, restarted my computer. Came up with a little splash screen. Didn't even get to the splash screen. My computer, like, froze on it. But, so my computer was basically fucked because it deleted the Windows shell. This shell was the most pain in the ass. It started to load, and then it just, like, froze on me. So I'm, like, freaking out because I do not want to have to go through the pain in the ass of reinstalling Windows. Because I haven't backed up anything, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to remove my hard drive, and I'm scared.
Well,
so,
did you take the hint and back things up just because?
No.
Oh, man.
I'm a retard. I'm a moron, all right? I don't back my shit up.
Well, then how about you partition your hard drive and back it up there? That's somewhat of a backup.
Yeah, well, I'll talk about something on that subject, too. But, so anyway, control alt and delete it, thinking I can like end it, and it's like running slow as hell. And I just leave and watch a movie and come back, wait, because I'm like, damn, this movie's running slow. I'll see what happens when I leave alone for like an hour. I come back and task manager's open, and like it's just really slow going. And so I click on, I end the process of that shell's trying to run. I end in all the processes, and I click on the run command, and
yeah.
I run explore.exe. So I'm on my hard drive looking around. And I go and uninstall the shell, and then I restart, and it's just like a blank background screen. There's no Windows shell running because when it installed itself, it deleted the original Windows shell.
That's nice.
It's a pain in the ass. So I'm like, fuck, what the fuck am I going to do? I don't have a legal copy of Windows lying around for me to, like, redo this shit. So what I had to do was black box my ingenious hacker mind. Geo Uber skills. I came upon the theory of you can install and uninstall Blackbox.
Well, it doesn't really install it.
It just puts it in the startup folder.
Sort of.
But it saved me. All right. I did run Blackbox.exe, and I didn't run Blackbox. I ran the install.bat or whatever.
Yeah.
And,
which just instead of booting into explore.bat. EXE, I haven't checked yet, I didn't even do it, but I'm just guessing that instead of booting into Explorer, it just boots into the blackbox.exe.
Yeah, that's what it does, I've done it.
Alright, well.
But it doesn't delete explore.exe. It doesn't, like, delete your Windows shell like this other one did.
Which is good.
Yeah, which is a nice thing.
nice
because
feature.
Because if the shell fucks up your computer, you have a way to get out of it. So I installed it, and then in the same session, I clicked uninstall. Windows is back, and I'm so happy.
So, and it actually just changed it to Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
So that must be in the code somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Explorer is the default, so always go back.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty nice.
So Blackbox saved me.
So even more shouts to Blackbox for saving his computer.
Saving Crash's computer.
Yep.
And then since we're at the 2600 meeting,
I guess we can go ahead and get into this is what pretty much the rest of the show is going to be based around. What happened there?
Yeah, that's the reason we took a commercial break.
That was the commercial break.
2600 meeting. There was about 8 people there. Was there?
Somewhere around 8. I can't count past 4, so I don't know.
I think I can name it. It was me, Finzane, Argent,
Replex, me,
you, and Durapulse.
Yeah, and then 2 guys that I didn't catch their names.
I think one of them was named Elmer. That's what he told me. All right.
And while we're talking about them, we should give shouts to Drive for setting up the live journal for Tampa 2600. And I think I heard that that's the reason why they were there. They
talked
to
them later.
Yeah. So.
Surprisingly enough, while we're walking out to leave, I'm like, hey, see guys, I've never seen you on the BinRev forum. I'm like, BinRev? What the fuck's BinRev? And I'm like, you don't know about BinRev? And Rebecca's like, yeah, man, that's how we're all here. We all came here from the BinRev forum. And they're like, we've never heard of that. And so we pointed them to it. And they said they found out about it on a live journal. He said he was bored to have his mind at work and searched for Tampa 2600 on Live Journal or whatever, and he found it.
Well, Drive just set that up, I think, a week ago, so.
Yeah.
That was some luck on his part.
Mm-hmm. And they contributed a lot. I mean, they told good stories. But
yeah.
Because of that, it was a great meeting. I gave out a bunch of open CDs, Knopic 3.4, the newest version, and one CD, which is very hard to come by. Is the DEF CON conference CD, DEF CON 11. I believe you, A13, want to talk about the OpenCD?
Now, we talked about OpenCD in the beginning, the first half of this, and since I'm on dial-up, it's not like I could go get it, and I did grab one of the CDs from you, so this morning, this afternoon, I started messing with it, and just looking through there, that's got some nice programs. I'm starting to really like that 3D rendering program. I just looked through the demos of it, and
Blender.
Yeah, Blender. I don't have the names open because if I were to open it, the recording would go to hell. So I just have to go off memory. That it looks like a pretty good app, and there's some other good stuff on there. I'm really liking OpenCD.
It comes with a lot of nice programs. Easy click and install. You don't have to go through the pain of downloading them. All at once. It's all one inclusive CD. It's the perfect CD to give you a Windows friend that is afraid of Linux.
I'm pretty sure that there's enough open source params on there to get rid of all the Microsoft spamware.
Yeah.
And run, except for the Windows, a completely free system.
Right. It comes with OpenOffice, AviWord, PDF Creator. It's everything Audacity. It comes with everything.
Yeah. Everything a normal user would need.
Yeah. It comes with a great all-inclusive CD. So that's I guess shout out to OpenCD because they have made a kick-ass CD.
Yep. And
I also gave out Knopic 3.4.
Now, I have my only other let me get the book. The only other copy of Knopics I've had was from this book, Moving to Linux. Good book, but bad distro. It's just a sample of Knopic. It's not a full version, but it's based off 3.2, I believe.
Yeah.
I believe that's what it is. And the reason why I don't like it is because it only works on one of my 3 computers.
Okay.
So,
well, have you had more luck with the 3.4 version?
Yeah, I didn't even remember that the other Knopics wouldn't work on this computer. I just put it in, booted up, worked perfect, and then after I was in there, I was like, hey, this is, the other one wouldn't work. This is kind of cool. This one does. It didn't ask me any questions.
Yeah, Knopic 3.4, big shout. It's the easiest to boot Linux distro I've ever come in contact with. I have downloaded almost every ISO live CD Linux distribution available. I have a shitload. I think think I gave a bunch of them to you.
Yeah.
That's not even half my collection of Linux prizes.
It was like 2 or 3 gigs of live CDs.
Yeah, I have way more. But all the Linux distributions, I mean, there's Mandrake Move, Blackware Live, it's called Slack. What's another one? Shit.
There's too many.
There's just too many to name.
Go to DistroWatch.
Yeah, but Linux 3.3 was very good, but I had some troubles with it on laptops and so on.
Yeah, I got 3.3 from a friend at school, and it wouldn't work on my computer. It gave me some network error and crashed every time.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that was about.
Yeah, well, this one, I think this is the first time I've never even had to configure my network for Nahapix before, because before I had to get it to find my router and all that crap, but this time it just did it all on its own, and it was very nice and convenient.
So,
it does have the new kernel, 2.6, although the default kernel is 2.4. You have to specify to boot into with the new kernel. It has KDE 3.2.2, and it comes with OpenOffice.org and GIMP 2.0. It's a great, I mean, I'm sure all of you know about it.
Yeah, and of course, the best app of all, Frozen Bubble.
Frozen Bubble.
That was the first thing I went to when I booted in, play 10 levels of Frozen Bubble, and then looked around.
Yeah, I believe I've spent, like, easily 3 hours in Frozen Bubble.
Yeah, that's the best game ever.
Yeah.
Is that all we have about Nopix?
Well, no. I was running Nessus against a server that I own. It's great. Shout out to Nessus. Okay. Now, on to another topic. What else do you want to talk about?
I believe that's all we have. We already went over the OpenCD stuff and Nopix. What was on that DEF CON CD?
Oh, all right. Who took that? I think one of the two people that never heard of Binrev took it.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was one of them. The DEF CON 11 2003 CD, it was, you had to attend the conference to get it. I think they have the files for download on their site, but this one, it comes with, I mean, I've looked at the downloads on the DEFCON.org site, and there's some stuff on the CD that wasn't on the site for download. It's basically every person's speech, PDF, every person's PowerPoint, and all the files came with it. And it was also for the Black Hat meeting, too. It came with a lot of information. I spent many a trip going up to Georgia for family reasons and just watching PowerPoint slides and reading presentations all the way up on a laptop. There's so much stuff to look on that. I'll be sure to burn some more of those and give them out for the next meeting.
Was that a CD or a DVD?
It's a CD, but it's cram-packed. It's like there's no megabytes left. I mean, the CD is full to the brim, but...
Wow, that's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of PDF, a lot of PowerPoints, a lot of information. It's the DEF CON meeting on a CD. If you didn't get to go to the DEF CON conference, I recommend downloading some of those PDFs. It's some good stuff. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's all I've got, so, unless you have anything else, I'm done.
I'm done. I think this is our second episode of DTMF Radio, and got any shouts?
Shouts to everybody at the 2600 meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I would have been able to stay longer, but it was the only ride I had.
Yep.
And, shouts to Kizzle.
Shouts to Kizzle.
Shouts to Drive for
mm-hmm.
the live journal. And I think that's all I've got.
All right. I don't have any shouts. I'm not allowed on IRC.
I don't think we should get into that.
No, we're going to leave that topic closed.
Yeah.
All right. So this ends our second episode, and we hope you listen.
Oh, by the way, the closing music is Matrix song Red Pill, Blue Pill.
Mm-hmm.
Later.
Later. Out.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Where we go from there
is a choice I leave to you.
Take the blue pill. Take the red pill. 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 Take the blue pill.
Take the red pill.
Take the red pill. Take the blue pill. Take the red pill. Take the blue pill. Take the red pill. Take the blue pill. Take the red pill. Take the blue pill. Take the red pill. Take the blue pill. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.